This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. As states reopen more of the economy, at least for now, we might hear some news this evening. One thing hasn't changed for a portion of the population, and that's working remotely. Many Americans are still working from home, and that trend could continue for the foreseeable future. Now the future workspace could look drastically different, as many bosses see the advantages of more flexible work schedules. And so does work from home increase productivity and cut costs for employers? And what are the drawbacks? Let's talk about that now. Joining us on the phone to talk about how the pandemic is changing the office is Entrust IT cybersecurity consultant Dave Hatter. Dave, welcome back. I meant to ask before we went on, do I call you Entrusted or do I call you Entrust IT?
Entrust IT. And as always, Michael, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'll also note, as I always do, that Dave is the mayor of the great city of Fort Wright also. And we're glad to have you back. If you've got questions or comments about what your experience has been like while working from home during this pandemic and whether you think you want to return to the office space, call us 513-419-7100. Dave, I mean, we're several months into this now. What changes do you see as most likely to become permanent as it relates to the way we're working?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head in the lead up to this. You know, more businesses are seeing that the technology certainly exists now for people to be able to work remotely, whether it's from home or from a remote site, and maintain, in some cases, at least the same or maybe even higher levels of productivity. Gives those employees a lot of flexibility. And I think something a lot of folks don't think about, but recent studies have borne out, that is that businesses can potentially save a lot of money. If they don't have all that overhead of Class A office space and equipment and so forth that they have to provide, that can potentially save a lot of money. But there is a flip side as well, which is, you know, this all came down very quickly. A lot of people were forced to work from home without a lot of help or support from their employer. And in many cases, their home systems are not anywhere near as secure as the systems they'd be using at work. So I think there's a double-edged sword to this, but, you know, Microsoft has come out with some interesting statistics lately, and there have been a lot of large companies like Barclays Bank in the UK or Fujitsu in Japan who said they have no intention of sending many of their employees back to the office ever. So I think we're going to see a permanent shift to many people working from home either all the time or a substantial percentage of their time.
So we have you on as an IT guy, but I do note that you're a municipal leader as well, and you noted the Class A office space, and that's kind of a buzzword in economic development, particularly in these cities that are experiencing these renaissances. That's what you want because the Class A office space attracts a certain type of payroll tax into your community more than likely. What happens, one, when, and I ask you, I guess, as a municipal guy, this question, what happens when those buildings are more vacant, not only to the property value, but to the bottom line for the cities if workers aren't doing the work in those communities?
You have touched on something I think most people have not spoken about or thought about whatsoever, and I think it's a significant concern. So, you know, in Kentucky anyway, under Kentucky law, technically your payroll taxes should be paid to the municipality that you're working in. So if you show up and you work every day in Covington, the payroll taxes should go to Covington. Now, let's say because of the pandemic, you're suddenly working from home and you live in Cincinnati or you live in Indiana or you live somewhere else in Kentucky, right? That's going to become a problem if these folks never go back to the office, because now the cities will have to figure out how are they going to... Any city anywhere, regardless of Kentucky, will have to figure out how are they going to collect the payroll tax, or are they even still due the payroll tax, right? If I'm not working in Covington, then technically wherever I am working ought to be getting that payroll tax. Does that city know I'm now domiciled in their city and that those taxes should be collected by them? I think this is a huge potential issue on the downside of this work from home is, yeah, a lot of real estate has the potential to lose a lot of value. And cities may see gaps in their payroll tax income and or have difficulty collecting it because now people are all over the place.
And the other concern from your IT expertise is sort of what you touched on just moments ago. We're using all these video conferencing and other types of collaborative software to work together. And I know here inside the Cincinnati Public Radio building, we have a lot of security checks to go through in order to log into certain areas. But there are a lot of people in our organization who are working at home now. And that's true across the world right now. What are we becoming more vulnerable to that perhaps we aren't inside our more traditional workspaces?
Well, you know, a lot of people had to just figure out how to work from home very quickly. In many cases, they're using their personal devices. You know, a lot of companies, particularly that have supported work from home for a long time, typically larger organizations, they have IT folks, they have a technology stack they're going to provide, a laptop, various things where, you know, it's got sort of inherent security built into it. And while none of that's foolproof, it's probably going to be a lot better, a lot stronger than something you might have set up yourself, especially if you're not very technologically savvy. So also, in addition to the fact that you might be working off a personal notebook, you might have other family members using that. Chances are you have Internet of Things or smart devices in your house, Ring doorbells, Nest thermostats, that sort of thing, which may not be configured correctly and potentially allow hackers in. You've got tablets, you've got phones, you've got people coming to your house, connecting to that network with their devices, which would clearly never be allowed in a corporate environment. So it really does present a difficult challenge for businesses that are concerned about security, and I hope they all are at this point, for their employees to be working remotely, especially if their employees are not using devices provided by that employer, if they're using their own devices, because it's hard to say if they've been configured correctly. You know, are they getting updated regularly and all those sort of things? So it's a tricky challenge. And again, one of the downsides of this work from home shift, which, you know, I'm a big fan of, it's nice to be able to work wherever I am and not necessarily have to go into an office every day.
And we're talking with Dave Hatter. He is a cybersecurity consultant with Entrust IT. And if you'd like to join our conversation, call us at 513-419-7100. Do you have any security concerns as your workspace may also double as your personal kitchen? And Dave, I've seen some pretty big companies share some pretty big numbers about its workforce. Barclays, for example, 70,000 working remotely. Barclays is an enormous country, and I understand that they're reconsidering their long-term location strategy because this bank is... It's being run by people now working in their kitchens.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The CEO, recently said that they're probably not going to send many of those people back to the office ever. And a lot of companies, there was a big headline a couple of days ago from Fujitsu, a very large Japanese company. They plan to not send 80,000 people back to the office and or use what's in the industry known as a hot desking or sometimes hoteling strategy where, you know, you might have an office space, maybe a nice Class A office space. So if you do need to have an in-person meeting with customers or something, you can do that. But it might be, you know, half the size or a quarter the size, and you just have some offices and desks set up with everything that an employee needs so they can roll in, do what they need to do, and leave without necessarily having to be physically present at that site every day like you would with a regular office space. So, I mean, many, many large companies have come out and made these kind of pronouncements. And you mentioned before, like video conferencing and so forth that people are using now. If you look at the numbers of platforms like Zoom or Microsoft Teams, I mean, they've just absolutely, you know, like skyrocketed exponentially in terms of the number of users because, again, people have been forced to figure this stuff out. And on the plus side, there's a lot of excellent technology out there that makes it relatively easy for anyone to take advantage of these tools to do whatever they need to do wherever they are as long as they have a decent internet connection.
Well, I wanted to ask you about those video conferencing services, particularly Microsoft Teams and Zoom, which all of us are probably now familiar with in some capacity as we meet with our coworkers remotely. These are pieces of technology that have existed for some time, but now they are in serious demand. How are they responding? How is it working? Does it look like it's something that was ready to scale up when we needed it to? And also, is there a marketplace opening up for alternatives?
So, yeah, that's a really good question. And you're right. Many of these technologies have existed for some time. Folks who work in a corporate environment are probably familiar with Cisco's WebEx. WebEx has been around for a very long time. Cisco, gigantic networking company, makes a lot of routers and networking infrastructure, bought it. I've used WebEx off and on for a long time. Newer products like Teams, you know, Microsoft kind of recently got in the game, and probably the thing that's gotten the most press recently is Zoom. And there are many others out there, but those are probably the three big players at this point. Zoom has gotten a lot of negative press because they, you know, as people suddenly realized, hey, I need to be able to do this. Zoom had a very easy to use and relatively functional free entry. You know, originally Teams, you could only get it if you were an Office 365 subscriber, and although WebEx has a free tier, the functionality and usability, I think, probably is not as good as Zoom. And so a lot of people immediately gravitated to Zoom because it just worked for them. Now, along the way, as a result of this pandemic, a lot of the big players out there like Microsoft have said, okay, we'll give you a subscription to Teams for free. We'll give you a subscription to Office 365 for free for a short period of time to try to help folks work through this, which I think is nice. WebEx has done the same. Zoom has come a long way. They've just gotten crushed in terms of privacy and security issues over the past 6 to 8 months. But in general, they've been pretty responsive. And as these things have come up, they've tried to fix them. So I'm not really a Zoom fan myself. I'm more of a Teams guy. But I will give Zoom credit. When these issues come up, they generally do try to jump on them pretty quickly. And, it's kind of the Wild West out there with all these folks realizing that this is going to be something most people will be using into the foreseeable future, right? I mean, even if you go back to the office, you might have remote workers who now you can talk to via Teams. You can have a video conference. You can easily share screens. You can do things that's just much more convenient than the typical telephone call or telephone conference. So they're a pretty powerful tool.
You don't really even have to hire locally anymore, I would imagine.
You don't. And I think that's one of the things Fujitsu pointed out in their press release about leaving these folks to work from wherever they are. I mean, if you think about it, with all of this new technology, and for folks that haven't experienced something like Teams, it's got a virtual whiteboard capability. You and I can be working on something, and I can share my screen so you can see it real time, as well as all kinds of other tools. I don't want to make this just rah-rah for Teams. And WebEx and Zoom have most of the same capabilities, and all of the big players are constantly and rapidly adding functionality to it because, of course, they want to be, the one that most people use. But, yeah, it's never been easier to work remotely and, frankly, collaborate with people wherever they are, thanks to all of this technology. And this pandemic has certainly accelerated the rate of digital disruption. Most businesses are being disrupted by this. And because this technology is good and because we have pretty much ubiquitous internet access, including through people's hotspots on their cell phones, you can literally work from almost anywhere. And then, another trend we're going to see is business travel will probably never be what it was.
That's almost what I was going to ask next. I mean, is it the end of the business trip?
I don't think it's the end, but I don't think it will ever be what it was. Virtually every major IT conference I'm aware of, and there are lots of them in Vegas, they get lots of people, have all gone virtual this year because of the pandemic. And my guess is you're going to see in the future, there'll be some sort of hybrid approach. If you don't want to incur the time and expense of going in person, you can attend virtually. For those that do want to go, for people that want to exhibit and so forth, my guess is you'll see some sort of hybrid approach, but I don't think you'll ever see the return to all of these conferences are only in person, very expensive and time-consuming the way that they have been, because there's just no need for it, right? I can get the same information. I might not be able to do the same level of networking, but I can get the same information without ever leaving the comfort of my home or my remote office or wherever I happen to be. So I think there's going to be a huge impact on that, too, and that's going to hurt a lot of businesses who rely on that income from these trade shows and expositions and such.
Is this good news or bad news for people who choose to work in IT? For example, if there's somebody based in a workplace who specifically takes care of the network and the equipment and that sort of thing, is this good news for that person because they're going to have more work to do? Or is it bad news because there might be other people out there to do this work remotely?
I think it's a mixed bag, and here's why I say that. I think a lot of those support-type jobs will eventually dry up to some extent as more people take advantage of cloud service providers, whether it's something like Google Docs or Microsoft 365. There's so much functionality and capability, and frankly, in many ways, security that you would get that you probably wouldn't be able to achieve working at home or working remotely with a hodgepodge of stuff. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, web services, they're hiring these people. The average business probably will need less of these people over time. Now, if you look at it from the standpoint of, does someone need to go into someone's home and help them secure the systems that they're using to access a corporate environment that could lead to, a data breach for that company, corporate espionage, et cetera? That might be a different angle we see spin out of this. I think it's a mixed bag. I'm not sure where it's all going at this point.
I do want to reiterate some of the key points that you always share with us, Dave, that are just to increase security at home. You like antivirus software, VPN, the virtual private networks, and what about passwords?
I would recommend most people use a password manager, something like LastPass or Dashlane or RoboForm or something like that. It makes it really easy for you to create very strong passwords, create a separate, unique, strong password for every account you use, and then share that across your devices. So it's easy to log in. You don't have to remember these crazy passwords. The tool does it for you. I mean, we don't have time to get into the technical aspects of it, but they're very secure. It just makes it very simple for people to follow good password practices. Again, LastPass, Dashlane, Keeper, there's a bunch of good ones out there. You'll have no trouble doing the research, but I like LastPass personally. And the other thing I want, before we run out of time, I got to work in, like Microsoft just released patches for July, 123 updates, many of them critical. No matter what you're running at home, whether it's a phone, it's a tablet, it's a PC, smart devices, routers, some combination of all the above, probably, you've got to make sure you're installing these patches. The bad guys know how to find devices that haven't been patched. They know how to compromise those devices, and one of those devices could be the way the bad guy gets into your corporate network and ultimately puts your company out of business and potentially you out of a job. So you have got to install the patches. If you don't do anything else, install the patches. Use a good, strong password, a unique password for every account. And then the other thing I would say...
Well, we're just out of time, Dave. We only got a few seconds, but we do appreciate the...
Multi-factor authentication. Turn it on, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Catch us next time. Catch us tomorrow.